welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am Jody Sweeten, and I am joined by my friend and co-host and all-around awesome person, Celia Behar. Hi, Seal.
Hi.
How are you?
My
voice. By the way, yeah. My voice sounds awesome. We'll get to the whys and hows of that later. But I'm doing my best.
Yeah. You. Well, your best is pretty fucking good these days. I had the stomach flu, as you know.
Oh.
I went to New York with the kids. We had the best time.
Yeah, so I can't. I've been dying to hear all about your New York trip.
It was great, and I will tell you all later. But we saw Six, which was so much fun.
B has really been wanting to see that.
It was a lot of fun. We had Russian food, and it was just great. Like walked everywhere, and it was just really nice to be home. I hadn't been home in a long time. Mm-hmm. I saw my dad and my stepmom, which was really nice on Father's Day.
I saw your picture of your dad on yours. I was like, oh my god,
my dad who lost 60 pounds.
Oh wow!
Like when I saw him, I was. My gosh, Dad, like you're half of you.
Right.
So crazy. Yeah, he's been working at it. It looked great. And just like realizing how the girls and I hadn't been away, just the three of us, since we went to Hawaii, like I think right before lockdown.
Okay, yeah.
So it was really great. We just had a really, really good time. You know, minor freakouts here and there, but.
I mean, look, that's traveling with anyone and that traveling with children who are related to each other. And
We spent two nights with Rachel, my friend Rachel Lithgow. We had a great time.
I saw those pictures too.
We did a lot of fun. And then we went into the city. We stayed on the east side, which is weird for me because I'm a west sider, but
right.
We stayed on the east side and I ate probably like, I don't know, 10 pretzels, brought home pretzels. Like I wanted pretzels the whole time. It was so nice. I ate one on the plane on the way home. But Harper got sick at one point when we were there. Seemed like just like, you know, not even like 24 hours of barfing. I was fine. Lulu's fine. I got home and then 2 days later, I just went down. I don't know what it was. Maybe I got it at the grocery store when I went to the grocery store. But I mean,
it's, yeah.
It was not good. So I'm also.
We'll leave it at that, but I'm sorry. Yeah.
My voice is also kind of shot because the barfing's not great.
That's terrible.
It was really not fun. Yeah. And that's one of those things when you realize when you're sick and you're alone, you're like, oh, this is a good thing that no one sees me sick. And also, like, I could really use someone to make me tea, but I think I'll just throw it instead.
It does sound like if I get sick, it sounds like I'm summoning demons from the pits of hell, which exist in my stomach. I usually prefer to be like, you know what, just I feel a little off. Why don't we just everyone on this block should leave?
Home is just gonna be in the bathroom. You're like, maybe I could bring a blanket in there.
See, I don't ever have that. I'll get really like sick, but once it's out, it's fine. I'm good.
2 full days of just out.
I'm
down.
Sorry.
Thanks. But I didn't, well, because of that, I wasn't with you doing some protesting, but we can talk about that. That's why your voice is out, you famous badass motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch a little bit on that now, and then we can maybe jump to break and come back and touch all things.
We're going to touch it. What are you touching of mine?
I'm not going to touch you. I didn't even touch you when you came over today.
You just put your arm on me, but it was all right.
Well, it's true. But I put it on your back because you're a little barfy and I'm afraid. I was out protesting this weekend, and for those of you listening, we recorded this the Monday right after, I never thought I'd say this, Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Yeah.
There is something I never thought I'd say. Actually, I'd like to say that's not entirely true.
No, the last months.
Shit, the last 6 years, I was like, this is going away. Anyway, so I was out protesting with some friends of ours. I was out on Friday night, and I was also out all day on Saturday. And as you can tell, I was yelling into a bullhorn for probably 8 to 10 hours collectively. Yeah. My feet, I can hardly walk. I'm like hobbling around. I have the worst blisters on everywhere on my feet. And I think I did something to my heel, like walking them. I don't think I had great shoes on. So like every time I take a step on my heel, I hurt.
Oh.
Anyway, please, minimal stuff.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be out there. You know me, I'm a person that has to take action. And so I had to get out
And we all do at this point have to. I mean, not when you're barfing, but I will be out with you next time.
Yeah, please don't. Please keep that to a minimum.
But you were so, you know, you're so badass. And I know you were leading the group as you do. I've been with you.
You know what? I said all day, I was like, I'm not leading this. I'm not an organizer. I just happen to be a loud bitch with a megaphone. Like, no, that's it. Okay, and I said, told people that. I was like,
that's a lie. That's a lie. No. I've been with her when you organize.
But I do not want to be.
I know.
The organizer. That's not why I went out there. I went out there. And I just, all I did was harness everyone's energy. That's a leader.
And that's what makes people want to follow you, because you're not aggressive. You're not like being, you know, oh, I'm in charge. You just want to do what's right. And that makes people follow you. That makes a great leader.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, we went out Friday afternoon, and we're out there through Friday night, and then we're back out on Saturday. And yeah, it's been all over the news.
Yeah,
so
tell the people why.
Well, I mean, there was a video that a friend of ours, Michael Ade, got of me being pushed down by police at one of the protests. And so, of course, because everyone sort of recognized me, that went everywhere, and it's everywhere. And like I said, really all I care about is just making the message not about me and about, you know, if you were bothered by that, let me tell you, there is a lot to be bothered by police brutality. And, you know, I beg you to check out organizations. You know, here in LA, we have Say Their Names LA. We've got Community Control Police. We've got Mr. Checkpoint. We've got Always Film the Police. There's a lot of really great people out here. My friends, you know, Senate and other photographers who do a lot of hard work making sure that those of us who are out there exercising our First Amendment rights or just even existing or getting pulled over by the police, making sure that, you know, it's filmed so that people can see what's actually going on.
Right.
Yeah. So I encourage you, you know, if you are bothered by those things and by what you saw, let me tell you, that is tame and nothing compared to some of the things that I've seen out there. So please use your anger and turn it into action. It's what we need right now. I get, and also today, I've talked about it. I've been inundated with it, and I'm my voice is pretty done.
I've cried a lot this weekend, and I was already crying a lot anyway, so it didn't really matter. But like, it's just, of course, I expected it. I knew it was coming, but I'm so devastated. You know, not just for us, but I think about our girls, and I just, you know, and we're privileged. Like, I recognize that I'm not going to ever have a problem with this. I mean, first of all, I'm too fucking old, but you know, my girls won't. Like, I'm in a place where I'll be able to, although yeah, birth control, all kinds of things are going down the toilet. And I recognize that we are in a position that we can always find services that are needed, because like people keep saying over and over again, it's never going to stop abortion. It's going to stop safe abortion.
Right.
And it's not going to be for people like us. It's going to be for socioeconomically people that are under us and women of color specifically.
Well, I don't even know that. I would say that it will always disproportionately affect communities of color. And not only that, but it will really disproportionately affect LGBTQ communities, trans communities, those who depend on these services for like all the rest of us for life-saving care. It's always funny to me because people are like, well, you live in California. Like, it's not going to affect you. And I'm like, I know that.
Right.
Guess fucking what? I actually give a shit about other people, and I give a shit about things that don't affect me. And if I can use my platform and some of the privilege that I have to be able to shed a light on that, then great.
Yes, you know? And you do it. I mean, listen, the arguments going on mostly on your wall, which if you notice, I just sort of went on.
I have
people to finger, and that was it.
Oh, I haven't even read my wall. I posted. I don't care.
Don't. I mean, I couldn't read the comments on the video. I just. There's
no, I've read some of them. I mean, look, Twitter, you think Instagram's bad?
No, I
go to Twitter and scroll through. I was like, oh, you know what? I laugh at those people. I go, ahead, fuck you.
It's too much.
This and if you're listening, you should probably not.
Yeah, then don't. Yeah, bye. See you then.
Yeah.
I just dropped the cap of my kombucha. Here's the thing.
Fuck everyone.
Quote Georgia. No, it's the, you know, when people are like, oh, it's bounced back to the state, nothing's changed.
Oh, but states' rights. Wait, we've had this problem before.
Right.
Let me think.
Right. Okay. Oh, so right. Mm-hmm. The thing that really pisses me off about that is someone who's worked with, you know, at-risk kids, teens, and in a state where I was in New York, but when you see the level of low access there is to healthcare, specifically OBGYN care and anything having to do with pregnancy for our kids that live in trailer parks that are way out rural. Right. What the hell do you think it's like in Oklahoma? A and B, like, that's the problem, that it did bump back to states, and that people don't really understand that there are states that are very anti everything. And so we knew that that was going to happen, and they will be the states that start taking away other rights. I mean, it comes back down to the quote, which I will mess up because I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know, the Holocaust quote, where it was like, first they came for the socialists, then they came.
Right.
I mean, start taking stock, people. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's where it's going. And right. It really upsets me.
Do you know, I have to tell you, so here's a funny story. So, maybe not funny.
Not funny.
Not funny, haha. Well, I found it funny, haha. But so my mom got a text from someone that she knows that was worried that I was, well, it said it was reported on some, I don't know, some regular news thing that I was leading Antifa through the streets of Dallas. I was leading.
Were you? Because that'd be rad.
You can't assume. I didn't see shit. I don't say shit. Whether or not who I was with, that's totally irrelevant. But I just thought it was funny. So, you know, she hadn't showed my dad the video yet, and I don't think she was going to. And
I think that's for the best.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
going to happen. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, that's all. That's all side conversation. But, it was just funny that I apparently was head of Antifa.
Love that. I think you should just run with that. People have said that about you before anyway. Like, it's not even the first time.
Yeah, I don't.
Get original, people. I come up with something better.
Right. I mean, people will, like, put me getting pushed down, I think, to the Full House theme song. or they put it to a Full House laugh track. There was that, too. You know what? I applaud the creativity.
I like it.
If you think that that's going to stop me, I really doubt it.
They've never met you.
But anyway, it's, you know, it's something that I just can't believe. And I think that, you know, the important issue that we keep talking about is, like you said, yes, it disproportionately affects so many people that are not us, which is exactly why those of us who can should get out there and speak about it.
Yeah.
You know, look, not everybody can get out in the streets and protest. That's fine. You can check out places like abortionfunds.org.
We both have fundraisers on.
Well, I have fundraisers for Planned Parenthood, but one of the biggest things you can do is help support small independent women's health centers in the states where abortion is legal. Planned Parenthood gets a lot of money, and they're fantastic. And don't get me wrong, I love what they do. But even they will put up there, like, how to help smaller clinics, because those ones really, really, really need it. And those are often the ones that are, you know, surviving in places that are, you know, it's very necessary to have women's health care and affordable women's health care for breast cancer, for ovarian cancer, cervical cancer, you know.
Even colon cancer, for that matter.
And just because. Yeah.
Our health matters.
Because those little wonderful things we do. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's been a long day.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Although, let me just say, I don't know that I would have been able to handle it. But just seeing someone put their hands on you like that made me ragey when you sent it to me. I was like, oh, I feel like I would have ended up in jail. Like, I
you know what's funny? I was like, watching them. I was like, all
right.
So
I know. You popped right back up. Yeah. But, man, I've had a visceral reaction to it.
Anyway, everyone out there who has sent support, which there has been so many people who have sent support. Thank you so much. I urge you, if you can send me a text or if you can send me a DM, then you can most definitely go check out some of the resources and share some of these things on your wall and help spread the message. You know, if you can't donate money, try and donate time. If you can't donate time, just try and, you know, donate your story to help promote these things and to help people. There's a lot of ways to be active out there, and there's a lot of ways to help. Even, you know, if you're in the area and you see protesters out and you want to offer people water, you know, we had people going into heat stroke and stuff the other day, and we always need that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I just want to thank everybody, and I want to thank you if you're out there taking action. I love you and I commend you. And yes, it is still Pride Month. And yes, this is an LGBTQ issue. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a women's care issue. Yes, this is a Black History Month issue. This is an issue for all of us. And let me tell you, the men who think this isn't going to affect them are going to find out pretty quickly just how wrong they are. And I hope that some of those men are the ones that put this law in power and fuck them. Little detour. Anyway, we are going to take a little break. And then we're going to come back. And on today's episode, speaking of motherhood and parenthood, and, you know, if you have young children, it's no secret that diapers and formula are running scarce right now, because that's what should be happening in a country where people are going to be forced to have children. Anyway, we're going to be back and talk about that because this is a huge, huge issue as well. So we will be back. we're back. Like we said on today's episode, we are going to talk about the journey that a lot of parents are on right now when it comes to skyrocketing prices for everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Yeah, gas is like $7 here now.
So. Yeah, it's, I mean, and it's like $12, $14 a gallon in Europe. It's, I mean, it's crazy. Everything is expensive and supply chains are messed up. So gas costs more to get things to you. And anyway. Diapers and formula right now, especially if you live in America, you know, we are experiencing a nationwide shortage of formula. And that sort of came as a perfect shitstorm of several things. Obviously, supply chain issues. Then there was a huge recall of baby formula that was found to have some sort of plastics or metal or some sort of contamination in it from when it was made. And so they had to pull that off of shelves. And then there was not enough backup supply. And then people were hoarding it. And then here we are. So this has been a sort of a snowball that has been running downhill for a while. And we're just now seeing how much this affects parents in a huge way.
Well, and parents in poverty, you know, especially, again, when I worked with, you know, I was kids, like a lot of my teens were moms, and so, you know, often they, when we like set them up with jobs and stuff, they didn't make any money. It all went to diapers and formula.
Right.
Let me also tell you that, unfortunately, because places like Planned Parenthood help, you know, teens figure out how to be teen moms as well. That's why it's called Planned Parenthood. They would have to coach them through, you know, how to keep the baby healthy. And when places like that didn't exist in, but you know, when I couldn't get a kid there, they'd walk in and they'd have, you know, their not even 1 year old baby drinking Mountain Dew out of a bottle.
Right.
Because that's what they can afford.
Right.
And they wanted to give them something. And they didn't know any better. And so then it became, you know, my job to help coach, but it's still like diapers. I mean, listen, even then when I was making barely anything as a parent of two, trying to figure out a diaper budget for myself was like near impossible at times. Diapers are expensive. I nursed
a diaper budget for yourself. I mean, your diapers are
up there. I'm coming up this weekend. Terrible. I probably could have used them, just so you know. But you know, I was trying to raise kids. I had a job, and my husband had a job, and still diapers were so expensive that, you know, it was always bargain Target brand diapers, and you know, trying to keep up with everything. So then I think about, you know, the teens that I worked with and how they had like nothing.
Yeah.
And so now they're a million times more expensive, same with formula, and you can't find, like, there's not enough of them.
And let's not forget, you know, God forbid with formula, if you are not breastfeeding. So, you know, there were people out there, you know, even a few people who are supporters of women who are like, well, just breastfeed. And you're like,
that's not how this works.
Right. But, you know, if you have a preemie, if you have a child with severe allergies, with, you know, special needs, all of these things, it's literally a matter of life and death.
Yeah. Some parents have to be, moms have to be on medication sometimes that you can't nurse with. So that's another thing. And that always pissed me off. I'd be like, hey, go off their meds.
Right. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't.
Right.
You know, in 2019, speaking of 19, you know, a lot of this comes as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and supply chain issues. And then, of course, inflation has run rampant and the world's on fire.
But
other than that, just to give you guys an idea, those of you out there who are struggling with this probably know how much it's jumped. But just to give you sort of a vague idea, in 2019, name brand baby formula cost American parents anywhere from 9 to 32 cents per ounce.
There's a little discrepancy there.
Anyway, 9 cents to 32 cents an ounce. I don't know. Maybe one is for like very specific needs and things like that.
Right. Fancy organic.
But still, 9 to 32 cents an ounce.
Right.
Okay. However, in the first half of 2022, the cost of formula soared to a range of 54 cents per ounce to $1.15 per ounce, and sometimes even higher if you're not shopping in a discount outlet. So on average, babies consume about 25 ounces of formula per day. At this rate, this is math.
Yeah.
At this rate, parents currently can expect to spend between $821.25 and $2,920 in your baby's first year, depending on the brand and availability of formula.
And that's just formula.
That's just formula. And I feel like probably way more than that.
I'm sure.
And
that's one kid.
That's one year. Mm-hmm. That's
And that's just formula, not diapers, and not daycare.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, God.
Or healthcare for that.
Well, first of all, daycare is about $2,900 a month.
If you're
exactly. And so it's becoming untenable for parents. And, you know, diapers are another thing that are going really crazy.
Yeah. And diapers were always expensive, you know. Yeah. And obviously, they're an essential parenting need, and babies in the U.S. go through 6 to 10 disposable diapers a day at an average cost of $70 to $80 a month, and name brand diapers with higher end absorption sell for as much as $0.50 each.
Hold please.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
The phone went off and hasn't been recording. So it's all right. We'll just record it from right here.
Well,
anyone watching YouTube right now, just know that you probably missed a chunk of this, and we're sorry. So go back and listen to the podcast because we don't know what you missed.
Yeah, my phone apparently turns off the video if my phone locks. So sorry.
fuck this day.
I got it all set up correctly.
It's not you. I mean, it's always something.
No, it's me. It's always me, but.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So back to this literal shit show. So diapers, $70 a month.
$70 to $80 a month for diapers. I feel like that's way.
I totally agree.
Okay. This is a low average. Babies in the U.S. go through 6 to 10 disposable diapers a day.
Yeah.
I feel like 10 to 20. They're giving us exactly yeah. just to understand yeah, yeah, yeah. what. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I definitely spent more than that a month.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Name brand diapers with high end absorption sell for as much as $0.50 each and can result in upwards of $120 a month in expenses. And that's just for babies, meaning not toddlers. Children as old as 5 wear diapers for a variety of reasons and still they're very expensive. Pull-ups are insanely expensive.
Yes. Again, this is affecting families with special needs far more than it is people, you know, anyone else. It's crazy to me. I if you're going through this and you're struggling with this, I just want to say my hats are off to you.
Same.
And I'm trying and talking to and communicating to people as much as possible. I think we all are to see how we fix this.
Yeah. I don't know how. I think one of my biggest struggles over the last, couple months has been just that. And you and I've talked about it. It's just that like heavy feeling of like, Jesus, what's next? Like it just.
Don't say that.
Well, no, what I like, I will, any manager's like, can't get any worse. I'm always like, don't say
yeah,
that.
It can.
Always can.
It always can.
And it's just
the dinosaur said the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's that overwhelming feeling of that. And then I think, I go right to, I talk to my clients about this a lot, because I'm like, I don't know what to say to you. It's very heavy on everyone's mind, obviously, that, talks to me. And then, and I have to sort of say to them, I'm going through the same thing as you are. This is all very new, awful and terrible. And your feelings are completely valid. And I feel them too. And this sucks.
Yeah.
And then looking at my children and thinking like, this is the world I brought you into
right.
is one of the hardest things. And then we read statistics like this and I'm like, God, and we're so lucky because at least I'm, the kids aren't in diapers anymore.
Right.
And yes, being a single mom is very expensive, but like, thank God I'm not doing it with no formula and diapers, that cost more than my car a month.
Right.
I mean, this is
and hard. To let you know, there are things out there. There's the National Diaper Bank Network, and diaper banks are community funded programs, much like food banks that offer free diapers to low income families. One in every three American families can't afford enough diapers to keep their infants and toddlers clean, dry, and healthy. This is a health issue, you guys.
Yeah.
This is huge, huge. We are letting literally our infants and children suffer because we have not figured out as a country how to kind of get on top of this and get our shit together.
Yeah. Diaper banks are community funded programs.
Yeah.
They offer free diapers to low incomes. But, there's other places that do too. You should check with your pediatricians.
Yep.
A lot of times pediatricians will have extra diapers that they can give out to low income if you qualify for that.
Yes.
I think I read something. No, I think. I know I read something with if you have Medicaid.
Medi-Cal.
Yeah, Medi-Cal.
Well, yeah, here,
right.
California is the only state to directly fund diapers. It's limited, but it comes through CalWORKs, which is Medi-Cal, which is a state-funded program. And it provides them $30 a month to help families pay for diapers for kids under age 3. But as we were reporting costs, you can see that's maybe
not
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Barely.
Ugh.
And, with diaper banks, they saw they distributed 86% more diapers on average in 2020 than they did the year before. And in some locations, distribution increased by as much as 800%.
God.
But But if the money is tight and you need diapers, please look up your local diaper bank for the possibility of being connected to some of these resources. The National Diaper Bank Network is a great place to look.
Yeah. I mean, like, no matter how you crunch the numbers, unless you're made of money, and most of us are not, these prices are just, you know, it's making raising kids so much more stressful. Right. And then you look at the state of the world on top of that all, you know, and I always find that for me, when I'm struggling financially, everything else seems so much worse too, because you're like, how do I keep it going? And I waffle between how do I keep this going and what the fuck is even the point anymore? Like,
well, for sure.
What's this? You know, I'm just going to run up credit cards and not pay them and I don't care. Like, I won't do that. But, you know, I feel that it get very like.
But you know what? Here's the thing. For some people, that's not an option. For some people, that's what they have. That's what you have to do. We're having to survive. And that's things that people are having to do. And it sucks.
Listen, that's how I grew up. You know, I mean, credit to my mom, but like, you know, she did what she had to do. Like, there was often things that were not paid and creditors after us and, you know, second mortgages out on houses and liens on things. Like, she had to feed us.
Right. I mean, I'd say that's the experience of most working Americans in this country today. There's a very small percentage of people who are feeling financially safe and comfortable right now. And strangely enough, it might be the same ones that are actually making a lot of profit off.
Oh, God.
Weirdly enough, talking about diaper banks and different government-funded programs, you know, there's not a government-funded program federally right now to ensure that parents can pay for supplies like diapers and formula and things. So when we talk about, you know, someone's right to choose, you know, we are talking about the right to choose the ability to not live in abject poverty because they had another child. They are talking about...
raped or incest.
Right. Or they're just like, I can't mentally handle this because I'm already barely making ends meet. You know, these are the things. And look, if you want to talk about being pro-life and you want to talk about from whatever conception to death, that's great. But then I need to see some action here. I need you to be out there buying diapers. I need you out there distributing food. I need you out there figuring out what's going on with the formula. It doesn't get to happen both ways.
Yeah.
Well, one doesn't get to happen at all because fuck that. But it especially, you know, makes no sense when we are a country that doesn't even provide people with basic health care.
I said this a lot. Yeah.
But federal policy shifts may be happening. They may be putting together, the Democratic lawmakers are trying to include a $200 million for diaper distribution in a huge budget reconciliation package. But $200 million, you guys, we spend trillions on all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do better.
Yeah, I'm also going to say, as far as the Roe v. Wade thing, and I did get into it with different people who clearly don't know how to read the Constitution or understand that there's like amendments to amendments and stuff, but that's fine.
It's okay. They also don't understand that you're allowed to protest in the street.
I know, it's strange. It's strange.
They're like, you should wait for the crosswalk. And you're like, you don't know what
you missed. You missed the whole memo. I am also struggling with the infringing on, you know, there's supposed to be a separation between church and state, and this is infringing on my religious rights. My religion. My religion says the mother, her health, mental and physical health, comes before any sort of pregnancy is carried out. Right. And in fact, if you're Jewish, you know this, you don't name a baby until I think it's 8 days out because it's not actually, they don't consider the baby to have its soul yet. That's how
right. But it's like first breath to last breath, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's very frustrating to me. You know, I think it's another one of those like taking a shot as a woman, but also then like, I know I'm a Jewish woman and I'm a very like openly culturally Jewish woman. I'm not very religious, obviously, but my kids are also culturally Jewish. And there's been the rise in anti-Semitism already, you know, is very scary to me. I've seen way too many things recently. But then on top of that, to be told that, you know, my religion doesn't count. This is not like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't understand. And I'm very confused and I don't understand.
Girl,
like, that's what it
we're
is.
We'll have a whole episode and two listeners left. No, No, not anymore. Actually, you know what? I have to say, I think we'd have more listeners probably if I went off on a tangent, but I won't because I don't have the voice to do it. Church, state. Separate. What's that anymore?
It doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist.
Right, it doesn't. And for those of us heathens out there, it's crazy to watch. Yeah, it's just crazy to watch this shit happen in real time.
My older sister wrote me the other day and she was like, are you sure you don't want to move to Israel? Because like, I don't know, all of us over here sort of are like, America's not so great anymore. Thanks, Lori. And that's exactly how she said it. Right. My sister speaks like she's got a New Jersey accent, even though she's never in her life lived in New Jersey. Right.
Oh, isn't 4th of July this weekend too?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's that's my favorite meme going around, that it's canceled due to the lack of independence.
Yeah, right. Canceled due. Yes, exactly. I saw, I've heard that some of the youth, but the young people are like, we're going to wear all black on the.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got some cute black shorts in there. Pull that off.
I'm in.
Anyway, and you know, for those of you listening, if you think that I don't love and care about this country, you're absolutely 100% wrong. I love it so much that I'm willing to have unpopular opinions and fight for everyone's rights to exist, to coexist peacefully without interference from each other.
And listen,
then I start down. I'm like, now we're getting into a whole other thing, and I gotta clarify because I know there's people out there like, well, you know what? Yeah, but you don't get to talk about the vaccine. And then I'm like, nah, that's a whole different thing. And now I'm having a whole separate story in my
in head.
I'm having 7 arguments in my head right now, and I'm not winning.
Well, I don't know how to win this. And so, like I say to my clients, and I'll say to all of you, like, I'm not sure. You know, we're processing this too. We're in it with you. And if anyone has a doubt that we, you know, don't love this country, then that's crazy. And quite frankly, whenever we talk about stuff like this on a show, we're both very aware we are actually going to lose listeners. We are actually going to not have certain advertisers want to work with us. Like, and we're...
Yeah, I think the advertisers that would want to work with us are the ones that we'd want to work with.
That's right.
So,
and that's cool. Fine. But I mean, it still is something that, you know, it means that much to us, that if it means that we're losing listeners and we're not so popular, oh, well.
Like I say, I would rather, and people out there who know me know that this is how I live most of my life.
Same here.
I would rather put my head down on the pillow at night and be like, you know what? I did what I believe is right. And I fought for myself and for others, rather than be like, oh, did I make, you know, the corporate overlords happy.
Do you know that when I've had my very first car that I was allowed to take up to college, my first bumper sticker I ever bought was "Get your laws off my body, and if you don't want an abortion, don't get one." Like, if you're against abortion, don't get one.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that was, my car was covered with pro-life or pro-choice rather stuff. And
I was like, wait,
what? Oh, no, you know what? Wait.
Well, I was going to say, did somebody slap a pro-life?
But I will tell you this, which is hilarious, is that in like 6th or 7th grade, whenever "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go" came out, that video,
right?
Because George Michael is wearing a pro-life shirt, and I didn't know what that was, and like somebody bought it for me as a present, and I just loved Wham so much that I wore that all summer.
And now, but here's the best part: is now we all understand he was probably wearing that in deep irony.
Right. Like, what, you know? But I wore, like, and there are pictures of me somewhere in my I mean, that was a "Wake Me Up Before You Know No."
Like, yeah, that's a... Yep. Jesus Christ.
Anyway,
wow.
Roe v. Wade also is the year I was born. So honestly, like, and my mom was so pro, you know, women and raised us that way. And as nuts as Bon can be, I have to give her so much credit for all of that.
Yeah.
And it's been a cause that's been, you know, near and dear to me my entire life. I've volunteered with Planned Parenthood. I've worked directly with Planned Parenthood and many clinics because of the job I used to have. I just went and donated diapers from Rotary.
I've got some diapers to donate as well. And also, if you are looking to help and connect people to resources, consider donating any unused diapers. Please, if you've got them sitting around, I know sometimes, like, I remember when my kids were out of them, I had them, like, sitting there, like, oh, what's it do with them? Yeah, please consider donating any unused diapers. As for formula, if you have any that isn't expired or opened, you can donate it to local community programs in your area, scan parent boards, you know, local community centers, all of that kind of stuff. Or you can try reaching out to an organization such as United Way or Baby to Baby. I will highly recommend Baby to Baby. John Stamos, I believe, works with them and has worked with them before. I've worked with them before. I highly recommend them. And it's Baby, the number 2 Baby is that organization. And you can, you know, even reach out to your pediatrician to be connected with a family in need. You know, oftentimes pediatrician will.
Yeah, they'll know.
They'll know.
Sometimes urgent cares and ERs also, because a lot of the time they'll have extra
diapers.
So if you, you know, need to, if you can't figure out where to go, you can also go there. They'll usually take them.
Yep.
I will say in New York, I saw several homeless mothers with young children as
Absolutely.
And if you can even just walk up to somebody, you know, and give them diapers, believe me, they're not going to say no.
Right.
It's not it's that urgent now.
To parents out there that are going through this crazy diaper and formula shortage, our hearts are with you. Again, Baby to Baby, National Diaper Bank Network, community resources, reach out as much as you can. If you have the privilege to be able to donate your time and or money or mm-hmm. product, mm-hmm. unused formula, unused diapers, please do that as well. We're in a time right now where we all better really help each other. And that's exactly why I was out there protesting this weekend. It's why I will continue to be protesting. I'm not quiet. Like I said, I'm just a loud voice with a megaphone and I will get my point out there. I love our listeners, to all the women out there who listen. And we know there's so many of you who listen who are also pro-choice and who are just horrified and devastated by this. We've got your back. We've got your support. Check out abortionfunds.com, Planned Parenthood, obviously local clinics. If you guys need resources, if you need stuff, we will do our best at posting things up there. DM us. You can reach us on our social media. Yep. You can email us. We'll get to those handles at the end of the show, but just know that you can reach out to us and we will do our best to try and connect you as well.
Want to do
Let's do some gratitude cards because fuck, I need to be grateful.
I know. Someone. It's hard right now.
Grateful AF. That's the tune.
Okay.
I'm singing today. What am I grateful for? I don't even know what the fuck this is.
Well, great.
I'm grateful for cloacas.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm saying that right.
I don't know. Is it a bug? Because I'm not going to like that.
C-L-O-A-C-A-B. No, C-L-O-A-C-A-S.
Wow.
Cloacas. Jeez. Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. You're going to love this. Uh-oh. And it's actually kind of awesome. What does cloaca sound like?
Cockroach.
No. No. Cloacas.
Taco?
Close. Cloacas are the one hole that some animals pee and poop and sex and birth out of.
Oh, like a chicken.
Yes.
That's their cloaca.
Want to know how a duck does all its business? Cloaca. Yeah. That's how. Want to know how marsupial moles mate? Cloaca. How does a turtle turd? Cloaca.
Oh.
Now say it all loud in a spiritual whisper.
Spit water out.
Cloaca. Cloaca. All in one. Oh, all one. Oh, well, it's also an all in one. It's really one hole for everything. Mm-hmm. One stop shopping. Mm-hmm. It's very handy.
Oh my God, kombuchas went up my nose. Oh. So not good.
You guys. I held it together this long, okay? If women had a cloaca, would we then just have to have freedom of choice because we peed and pooped and birthed out of the same hole? What? Cut that out. That was so ridiculous.
Don't cut that out. No way. I don't even understand what you said. What?
Well, because I can't. Well, no, I guess.
What?
I don't know. It was a thought that came by and I just entertained it for a little bit and I shouldn't have. I should have told it to go away.
I can't. I'm like, maybe.
Okay. All right. What are you grateful for besides me and Mike?
I don't understand. I'm not really grateful for this.
It's all right. There's no one's listening to this show by the end of this thing.
Okay. I'm picking other because I'm so.
And you know, not, but no, you know what though? Let's find. No. I'm gonna say this. I saw what you picked, and I'm gonna say let's try and find the good in things.
Fine.
Even if we can't see them, because I will tell you, I am very grateful for cell phones. Because I am very grateful for protest footage.
That's true. Fine, cell phones. Because I am not. Because I feel like we're all attached to them, and also
well, we are. And I also want to throw them all in a pile and burn them.
They make me so sad these days. Anyhow, yes, they can be distracting time drains, but. So can your genitals, and hopefully
you so can your cloacas.
So can your cloacas. Hopefully you learn to regulate that.
Yeah.
Cell phones
regulate
make,
that cloaca.
Well, apparently they're getting regulated for us, so that's fine.
No. Cloacas are fine. Chickens,
right.
All set.
All good.
We actually us have less rights than chickens.
Right. That's true. We might at this point.
Well, maybe not.
No, they've been pretty for years. Cell phones make life so much easier in so many ways. Think about this. There was a time when you had to wait at home to get a call from that person whose genitals you so wanted to touch. Right?
And not only that, the person whose genitals you wanted to touch had to talk to your parents.
Or leave a message.
Whose genitals you came from.
Right.
In order to say hello to them introduce themselves and then try and talk to you.
Or they had to leave a message and then you could have that message. And if you sounded stupid, you had it forever.
Which I remember my dad could, through the time I was in high school, till I graduated, probably couldn't remember any of my friends' names. So it was always kind of a crapshoot when I came home and my dad would say that someone called.
Uh-huh.
He'd be like, so, you know, one of your friends called. I'd be like, who? Oh, Sarah? Which one? I don't know. Oh, shit. I got to know 7 Sarahs. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, I'm grateful for cell phones just so that my dad doesn't have to be my secretary.
First of all, we had our own line. My sister and I used to make very funny answering machine messages. We also would pretend to be the other one if someone called and we didn't want to talk to them because we sounded so much alike. Nice. So we would just, you know, if I picked up and I could tell it was like a boy I didn't like, I would just drop my tone a teeny bit and be like, you know, what? No, she's not here. Okay, bye. Because that's how my sister would talk. You know? And she'd be like right there like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know?
I love it.
I also, my friend Minda and I, when we lived in the city, which I took Lulu to go see our old apartment, we would lie around and make the most ridiculous answering machine messages because we were so poor. We had nothing to do most of the time.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing that in college.
And we came up with a good, Minda is like 6 feet tall, blonde, like Swede. And
right.
We would call each other the Heeb and the Swede. So we would make up rhymes on our answering machine. He'd reach the Heeb and the Swede. And that's what it was for the longest time. And one of our mothers inevitably would call and be like, that's not appropriate.
Right.
Take that off, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful for you today.
I'm grateful for you, too. I'm grateful you're okay. That was...
I'm grateful I'm okay, too. I'm grateful that hopefully more awareness is out there. I'm grateful that people are angry. Anger could be an incredibly constructive feeling if you channel it somewhere. So that's why I'm out there in the streets. That's why I am talking as much as I am, because I'm not going to just sit here and let it eat me alive. Okay. So anyway, if you would like to get in contact with us, if you need resources and things like that, you know, we may not have them all. We may not be able to get back to you all, but we can definitely try. So you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. Twitter is at Never Thought I'd. You can email us at Never Thought I'd at protonmail.com. You can find me at Jody Sweeten across all socials.
You can find me at the Celia Behar on, I think I'm still on Twitter, I don't know, and Instagram.
Yep. And we just want to say we're grateful for you today.
Yes, we are. You made it to the end of the show. God bless you.
All right, you guys. Remember, keep killing the parenting game and not your kids. Right.
I know it's coming. In there.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.